And anytime, Peter.
Okay, Mr. Elegant, I would like you to kind of take off from the following quote and maybe summarize it if you wish. For the first time in modern history, the outcome of a war was determined not on the battlefield, but on the printed page, and above all, on the television screen.
1981, I published an article, rather obscure, British intellectual monthly, called Encounter. The title was How to Lose a War. It was the editor's title, not mine, but I think it was rather pertinent. And to my, somewhat to my astonishment, since I had given up the daily journalism, and I had thought that this was a good opportunity to think about things, but somewhat to my astonishment, it produced a tremendous uproar in the United States, 6 or 8 months later. The subject was Vietnam, the subject was the press in Vietnam, and in the course of it I said that, and I still believe very strongly this to be true, that for the first time in modern history, which means really in all history, a war was lost not on the battlefield or even in the chanceries in the diplomatic negotiation, but on the printed page and above all on the television screen, which is a fancy way of saying, of course, that public opinion determined what the American attitude towards the continuing laborious, arduous Vietnam conflict, and that public opinion was obviously determined by the information it was receiving, which came from the media.
Yeah, that's a fine response. Could you make it a little shorter, a little briefer?
No. Just, no. Can't, you can't cut it, in other words.
Well, it started...
Too hard to cut.
It started with a slow tip.
Well, I thought you wanted the background.
No, that's fine. Why don't we just go through it one more time, so I can have a second version. I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
No, I know, I know that. No, I know I'm not trying to give you one, but I just... Do you want me to... Then do you want the background at all? I'm in your head. But that was slow, or what was slow then?
I think it's just the opening few sentences.
Well, that's the background, then you don't want it.
I think if you said it a second time, it would be smooth.
Okay. All right. Just so I know what you want. Yeah.
Just a second.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Anytime.
1981, I published an article entitled How to Lose a War in a rather obscure British intellectual magazine called Encounter. It aroused a great uproar over all places in the United States. Basically, myself, having been in the newspaper business for 25 years and having given it up to write novels, I was looking back on my experience. I wrote about Vietnam and I said, if I recall correctly, that for the first time in history, the outcome of a major conflict was determined not on the battlefield nor in the negotiating chambers, but on the printed page and the television screen. In other words, the public's opinion of Vietnam determined, quite properly, the administration's attitude towards Vietnam, and the public's opinion was shaped by the information presented to it by the media, particularly by television.
Let's move on, and skip to the, you said in our discussion, the errors of reporting go beyond TET. Other major issues that were misreported. Perhaps you could comment on that, looking at the war as a whole.
Yes. TET was, of course, the decisive factor. Let me start that again. TET was, of course, the decisive moment. However, the attitudes that lay behind the misreporting of TET, I think, were very important, and they determined the total response of the public and the administration. I'm not blaming any reporters. None of the reporters did it deliberately. None of them was a communist agent or any such nonsense. They were reporting as best they could under very difficult circumstances. History has shown that they didn't do a very good job. Among the errors, the major errors, were their portrayal of the nature of the enemy. There was a feeling the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, and even the North Vietnamese, whom they didn't really distinguish between properly, were rather good guys. The nature of our ally. We were dealing with a normal, corrupt, and sometimes exceedingly corrupt Southeast Asian government, which had just emerged from the colonial phase. Less corrupt, I might add, than the Philippines, which had emerged from our colonialism. But they presented it as an evil government, which it never was. The nature of the war. This war was presented as something horrendous beyond human experience. War is usually horrendous. This was a horrendous war, but no more horrendous than any other war, perhaps less horrendous than Korea in terms of human suffering, deaths, and also in terms of material destruction. That was wrong, but they'd never covered a war before. They didn't know. And they didn't know anything about Asia. When I say they, obviously there are large areas, you know, there are a great number of exceptions, but by and large, most of the people who came along quick to us to report on this war didn't know anything about Asia, therefore didn't understand the nature of the people they were dealing with. Finally, they, I believe, misreported the effect of the American effort. Having watched it, Vietnam from 1955 through 75, I had a slightly different attitude because I could put it in some kind of context, and I think that context was right. But there was, despite grave bumbling stupidity, ineptness on the part of the Americans in Vietnam, both military and civilian, Vietnam, that is South Vietnam, had changed. The economy was moving. There was an election held in the middle of a war, which Chu, who was no prize bunny by any respect, but Chu insisted on holding it. But the American people were given the impression that this was a bunch of evil, vicious men. They weren't. They were just normally corrupt.
Okay, I thought it was very interesting what you had to say about the White Massacre and the fact that you were willing to report it, and I did report it, but that your gatekeepers at various levels, stateside and so on, didn't want to hear about it.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Could you comment on your desire to report the White Massacre and the lack of receptivity?
Well, I said I did report it, and this...
Could you start with, I did try to report the
massacre. I did report the White Massacre, and the Los Angeles Times ran it. Some little...
Cut tape.
What in the world?
Sounds like a bug.
No, it sounds like it sounds
yes.
like a big sledgehammer.
Oh, it does. No, let's get that clear. I said that I had a scoop bar.
That's coming through like
gangbusters. Because nobody else wanted to listen to death. Both that and the nature of Cambodia. So you don't want to go into that. But it was run wide, imagine, fairly widely. I don't know how widely it was in the public service. But it didn't make any impact.
Has the New York Times Index, we talked about this with the Conservative New York Times Index, over a two-year period, there was 7 years.
Whatever the sound
was, the same period, there was 8 years. Metrics.
Yeah, for me, like, which was it.
Let's start it.
You won't do that.
Stop. Tony?
Yes. Roll tape.
I'm here.
Sorry. No. Hold it, Tony. Yeah, it's such a
good one. Let's go for it. Talking about reporting the White Massacre.
I reported on the White Massacre. Oddly enough, I was, I think, the first or among the very first to report on it, because I trusted my sources. Most of my colleagues appear to have not been interested in reporting on it, and I think there was a psychological disinclination to accept its existence. Again, nothing sinister, this was just a mindset, and the mindset was against it, and I had a scoop on it, which was ridiculous, that I should have had that scoop. But I knew, you know, I knew what I was looking for in part because I knew what the Chinese had done in similar circumstances, and therefore to carry one with the other was very easy.
Okay, let's move on to the your file for February. And you said that your editor said, don't go to Hue.
Don't go to Vietnam.
Don't go to Vietnam. We want to hear in my radio
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Could you introduce that to people
right.
calling
sure.
and then react to it?
I was not in Vietnam for Tet. I was not in Vietnam for Tet. I did want to go, foolish though it may sound, but I was stationed in Hong Kong. My editor at the time said, look, we have people in Vietnam. If we need you, we'll send you. In the meantime, do your job, which is to watch the communist radio, particularly Hanoi radio. And I've just looked over my file for the month of February, and I find that it starts out on February 3rd with the communists claiming victory. Complete victory for the Tet Offensive. By the next week, this is falling off. This is what I reported at the time. And by the end of the month, I was reporting that the communists were saying, look, this wasn't any victory, it's going to take us a long time. So over a period of a month, less than a month in February, so say 3 weeks, their line changed completely. I was able to report the changes in their line and comment on it, and yet so many people insisted upon awarding the Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese, a tremendous psychological victory of Tet, which never existed.
I think the final point that we'd like to cover is there'd be a series of comments on what's the one lesson that you learned about media and foreign policy from the Tet Offensive. Mm-hmm. And you said there's a lesson for correspondents and a lesson for the general public.
Now you want me to do the correspondence?
I would say you could start with there's one lesson, there's a lesson to be learned from the Tet Offensive or from link the correspondence with the...
Yeah, I don't know what the lesson is for the general public. Don't believe what you read. I mean, you can't say that. All right. I think the lesson for correspondents driven home by Tet, particularly by the entire Vietnam experience, what I call the Vietnam syndrome, where we almost wanted to prove that our enemies were better than we were. In fact, people did prove it, whether they intended to or not. I think the lesson is that you, and it's a lesson for editors, it's a lesson for correspondents, that you cannot send people in to cover a very complicated situation unless they have some fundamental knowledge of the situation. There were too many people who came in for quick tours, particularly in television, a six-month tour, who've never had the time, with the best will in the world, to read and learn anything about Vietnam, about communism, or about guerrilla warfare, which was sort of the nugget, the kernel of what they were trying to cover. And this has been said for as long, I've been in and out of this business now for almost 30 years, more than 30 years, and people were saying this at the time. It is almost hopeless, but nonetheless, that is the lesson.
All right, and what is there a lesson for the general public in this? If there is a lesson for the general public, then Tet.
I can't do it. Because what do I say? Look, don't believe what you read in the newspapers? Is that ridiculous?
Well, you have an opinion about whatever the opinion is.
Well, but I mean, it's fatuous almost to say,
okay,
isn't it?
That's
what do you think? I mean,
I would like you to declare what you think the general public should do. It's going to be the general public that's watching the program, trying to figure out how it should prepare itself for the next.
You better explain the difficulty you have in even drawing one.
Oh, that's a thought, yes. It's very difficult to draw a lesson for the general public for several reasons, one of which is that I look on it as a professional newspaperman, not as a member of the general public in that case. It's very difficult for me. I'm not going to say you don't read the newspapers. I couldn't say that. That would go against everything that I have lived for. At the same time, I have to say to you, be very careful. Be very careful of the emotive aspects of it. And be very, very careful of television, because pictures don't lie, but there are always a million pictures which can be taken of virtually the same incident. And it depends on who's taking the picture and which picture the editor tends to use. But, you know, there really is no answer to this issue. Censorship is no answer. I believe in a free press, despite its faults.
I think one final point I would like to comment on, if you wish, is what are the temptations for television in Vietnam in terms of misreporting? If you could, the temptation for television in Vietnam.
Well, the temptation to television was the possibility of realizing what television always wants, which is the dramatic story. And elsewhere, perhaps, you cover stories that you don't have these wonderful pictures which can be turned into an extravaganza. And the temptation was the fact that you could always go out and shoot a few people getting killed, because there are always people getting killed. That happens in wars. You didn't, therefore, normally go out and shoot other things, because you were competing for airtime. Not only were you competing with other networks, you were competing with your own people, because, you know, any CBS presumably gets 15, 20, 30, 40 shots for everyone they put on the air. And so the temptation, which was almost irresistible, was to forget what you were reporting about and to remember that you were in show business rather than in news business. And perhaps that's another lesson we should all learn, that television is basically show business.
That's fine.
We've okay.
Is there anything that you'd like to say that pertains to the program?
No.
We haven't talked about
it. I think we've covered that stuff. It's a good one.
Okay, great. Excellent.
A great one.
Can I do one thing, Peter?
Sure.
Zoom in, just maybe read a portion of the script. I just need a couple of shots of Mr. Elegant listening.
Okay.
That's hard to get.
Okay, they want some cutaways. I must say that I've read your article, Hutton's War, about 5 or 6 times. It has had an influence on the shaping of our program, and I think it's one of the most significant works dealing with Vietnam, although it's not a book-length work. There's obviously a lot of experience distilled and brought together, and obviously it's a product of a certain amount of pain, personal pain on your part. So, and typically, I think anyone in my field that is interested in Vietnam, the historian, are familiar with the article referred to it and so on. So you've reached a lot of people with such an work.
Thanks, Peter. It's beautiful.
May have been a small backwards.